Welcome to Home Ground. I'm Brian Kahn. For more than half a century, the government of the United States and Cuba have been locked in hostility, and media coverage has reflected that. So we Americans have heard much about two men named Castro, but we have not heard much about regular Cuban people, their shared history and rich culture. With the reestablishment of diplomatic relations and freedom for reciprocal travel, that's about to change. For example, most Americans will remember the 1961 U.S.-sponsored invasion of Cuba, aimed at overthrowing the new government. We do not remember 1961 as the year when 100,000 Cuban teenagers committed to eliminate illiteracy from their country. Marietta Biasca, Pamela Rios, and Felo Rojas do remember. They were there. Many thanks to you all for joining us on Home Ground. I should mention to our listeners we're recording this program in Havana. Pamela Rios, where did you grow up? What did your folks do?
I grew in Havana. I was a city girl. My mother was an English teacher because she was North American, living in Cuba since 1950, and my father was a businessman.
So basically your upbringing was urban in Havana?
Yes.
And if I was to ask you, looking back on your childhood, what were the most important values you learned growing up?
Being a good person, I think.
Marietta Biosca, thank you for being with us. I would ask you the same questions. Where'd you grow up? What did your folks do?
I was born in Camagüey, not in the city, but in the middle of the province, in the center. My father was a physician in this sugar factory, and there were very few houses.
Camagüey is something that we will not know in the United States. It's part of Cuba, the east, the west?
It's the east.
Would you say you were raised in a big town, a small town?
In a very small town, very beautiful. As a matter of fact, that sugar factory and the surrounding area belonged to the Americans, to the North Americans.
And if I asked you what lessons you learned growing up, what values that are still important to you today, what would you say?
Well, I love nature. I love nature above all. The country, the wilderness, and above all, the sea.
And Felo Rojas, same questions. Where'd you grow up? What'd your parents do?
I am a city man. My father was a bus driver, and my mother a dressmaker. I am a poor man.
So you grew up in a poor family economically?
In a poor family, economic poor family.
Okay. And again, looking back on your childhood, before your participation in the literacy campaign, what values did you learn growing up that are of central importance to you now?
The principal values I learned in my childhood was to be honest and to be a good man and to help anybody who needs my help.
Marietta, you look like you want to add something.
Yes, I also want to point out that I saw poverty since I was born, because in these sugar plantations, people were very poor.
And so you saw poverty? And
yes, I didn't suffer poverty, but I saw it, and I saw the difference between the city and the country in Cuba. It was enormous.
So what difference did it make to you to see poverty?
Something had to be done to help these poor, very poor people that had nothing to eat and nowhere to live.
I appreciate your having mentioned the reality and pervasiveness of poverty. My recollection is, before this campaign started, approximately one out of four Cubans could not read or write, and most of those lived in the countryside. So a literacy campaign was announced by the government that they were going to try to eliminate illiteracy. How did you hear about it, your young people? Pamela?
I heard it at home first, and also at school, because near my in my school were an office related to the organization of the campaign.
How old were you?
I was 10.
What do you remember hearing?
I remember hearing about many people that has to be taught to write and read, because I didn't know before that we had so many people illiterate.
Phalo, how old were you at the time of the beginning of the campaign?
I was 13 years old.
And how did you hear about it?
Because in the city was a campaign to inform the citizens that there were many people illiterate in the country.
All right.
And they need to send to their young people to teach them to read and write. And then I was very happy to go there, and I told my mother, I will go there to teach them to read and write.
And Marietta, your experience, and how old you were?
I was 19 when this campaign arrived. And, well, I heard it everywhere. And first of all, Fidel spoke about it many times. And then there was a national activity around it. Everywhere you could see the enthusiasm and the organization and everything.
Now, this was about a year and a half or 2 years after the triumph of the revolution, approximately?
A year and a half.
Okay. So what was your personal reaction?
That I wanted to help the illiterates. I wanted to teach. I wanted to do something for society, because up to that moment, I had always received. I had never given anything. I had not helped anyone, and I wanted to be useful.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We are in Cuba, talking with three participants in the 1961 campaign to eliminate illiteracy from the country. Now, Pamela, you're 10 years old. You want to help eliminate illiteracy in the countryside, and to do that, you're going to go out into the countryside and work with one or more people or families. You go home and you tell your parents you want to do this. What did your parents say?
My mother, for sure, she didn't want me to go alone. So what she did was decide to go with me.
Huh. And she, you said, was a teacher.
Yes, she was a teacher, an English teacher.
So you went together.
We went together.
And where did you go?
We went to Bayanoa.
Which is, help
us. Which is a little town 2 hours from Havana.
Okay, I'm assuming there are no hotels there. Where did you stay?
No, first we stayed at a rural school in the middle of a peanut field. And later we were in the town of Bainoa living in a big house with other alfabetizadores.
I don't know what that word means. Participants in the program?
Participants in the program, yes.
So you weren't just sent out alone. You'd go out in some cases as a team, a group of young people in the same town.
In our case, we were sent as a team.
And Phalo, the reaction of your parents to the idea that you wanted to do this?
When the literacy campaign was begun, my father was dead. And my mother and I were alone. My mother taught me, are you sure that you, with 13 years, are you able to go there? And I told her, yes. I want to teach how to read and write the farmers. And she told me, well, go. In that occasion, I went to Las Tunas. That is a city very far from Havana, in the Orient, in the east of the country.
And what were conditions like there for compared? You come from Havana. Was it the same kind of place that you were used to living, or very different?
Very different. They were a very poor farmers, with very poor conditions. I was sleep in a hammock.
Sleep in a hammock.
And the food was very poor. But I don't care about that. I maintained there about 8 months, very happy to teach to read and write them.
And the house you lived in, if you could describe it.
That house was a dirt floor house, no running water. We have to take the water from a well.
From a well.
And the cover of the house was a bohío. The roof was made of leaves.
Were there any schools in that community?
Not. There was a school very far from the house.
And what about medical care, doctors?
One doctor very far too from the house.
Marietta, your parents' response to your desire to go out and do the work?
My parents agreed totally with Fidel, and we were a revolutionary family. And besides, since my father was a doctor in medicine, he was always helping poor people.
So there was no problem with your
no
parents?
No problem whatsoever. Of course, my mother and father were worried because it was a little bit dangerous. Something could
All
happen
right.
to us, but they knew that I was going to take care of myself. And besides, everybody in Cuba were looking after us, were taking care of us young teachers.
In other words, that you're saying there was support for this effort by normal people?
Yes, normal people. Everybody was involved in this huge campaign.
All right, where did you go? What was it like?
I went with Pamela's mother, Marjorie Moore.
Oh, you two were in the same place?
Yes. I went with her because I started teaching as a Patria o Muerte Alpha teacher in the city, in Havana. It was because I studied in Havana.
So you ended up teaching in Havana, not in the countryside?
No, no. I started, but I wanted to go to the countryside. I wanted to help the real poor people in the country.
Pamela said she was working, I think, in a rural school. So if there was already a school there, why were you necessary?
No. The thing was that in that school we were living, that was our house.
Okay.
Because remember that the government had stopped all the official classes. Classes had stopped in Cuba for 1 year.
So the students could go out to teach.
The teachers and the students and all the helpers, the rest of the people that work with teaching.
Okay, so...
Even the university was closed down.
All right, that sounds strange. Why close down the schools if you're trying to teach people to read?
Because it was an enormous task. We needed the support of everybody.
So let me
And it was going to be an intense teaching in 1 year.
Let me see if I understand. You have a percentage of the population that cannot read or write. You have other people going to school, learning and already reading and writing, and teachers. So you're saying that the effort was you closed down all the schools and universities, and not only the teenagers, the 100,000 that you were members of, but teachers, professors, a lot of people then were involved in this campaign. Is that correct?
Yes, I think in the cities there were some teachers teaching the children.
Continuing to
yes,
teach the children.
Yes, for them not to lose the 1 year.
It's clear that there was a major social divide between urban and rural Cuba. How did the rural people react, the farmers that you encountered, when a bunch of young people from the city show up and say, we're here to help teach you to read and write? Fela, what was your experience with the farmers you were with?
The farmers received us very happy, but they didn't think that so young people was able to teach them.
Sure.
And when the time passed, they confirmed that we were able to teach them.
Pamela, you look like you want to say something.
Yes. Some people didn't want to be taught, because they didn't understand that they really need it. Some of them said, okay, if I have never read and write, I'm too old, I'm not able to understand, to...
Sure.
Some of them resisted. Some of them resisted.
Okay,
so we have to convince them first.
Did you have that experience yourself?
Yes, I had.
What did you say?
I explained them that if they can read, they can understand what is happening in the country, not only what it happened in their town with their families, and that no one could cheat them.
Hmm.
They went on and this, no, and
they agreed.
They agree, and at the beginning, some of them, when they agree to be taught, some of them later said, "Okay, but I cannot see because I don't have glasses." So we had to look for glasses for free. We got glasses for them for free to help them, because it was, in some cases, were true. They didn't have glasses to read.
Did you have a similar experience, Marietta?
Yes, as a matter of fact, our group was sort of unique. We were 35 teachers, most were very young people, but the person in charge was Pamela's mother, Marjorie Moore, who was a North American woman, a revolutionary woman. And she was a teacher, but she was an English teacher. And she had her accent. She spoke Spanish with an American accent. And many people rejected her, because if you cannot speak, they told her, if you cannot speak Spanish properly, how are you going to teach us? For her, it was very hard, but she was such a wonderful person and so educated and so nice that she convinced, and finally everybody loved her. But for her, it was difficult.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We're in Havana, Cuba, talking with participants in the 1961 literacy campaign. Let me ask you this, Marietta. You're dealing with farming people who I assume are working during the day, their normal farming. So when do you have time to teach them?
We arrived at their houses around 4.
In the afternoon?
In the afternoon, till 10 o'clock at night or 10 sometimes.
Okay.
Yes, and then we came back to our house that was this empty school in the middle of the peanut plantation.
What about food? People need to eat. You guys
then
have to eat, and these are poor people. So where does the food come from?
They had to feed us. They had to give us dinner. That was something that they had to give. And they had little food, and food was scarce. And besides, they felt at the beginning a little bit uncomfortable, because we were invading their privacy.
Sure.
And their very poor privacy. And we saw the way they lived, and it was very precarious. Difficult.
Marietta mentioned earlier there was some danger. I'm not sure what you meant. Did any of you experience any danger in this effort?
At that time, there were some bandits in that area, Las Tunas, when I went to teach. And the farmers formed groups in order to combat them.
We think of bandits. Now, let me just get this straight. Bandits to us, I go back to cowboy movies or something, they're groups of people with firearms, guns, that are outlaws. They're outside the law. That's what you're talking about.
These guys didn't agree with the literacy campaign, and they formed groups in order to combat the campaign.
Okay, so you're there on a farm. There are bandits around.
And when the bandits went to the town in order to shoot and to kill the brigadist.
That is the teachers.
The teachers, the okay. young teachers.
Yes.
The former formed groups in order to combat them. Then, when the group goes, the father of my house told me, "Teacher, don't go with home. Don't go with us. You stay here with my son."
Let me just get this straight now. You're 13 years old, and he's telling you, stay out of the fight. Do not come.
Yeah. Well, he told me, "Teacher, stay here with my son," and they go away in the horses and the guns in order to combat these bandits.
Yep.
Then the son, when they went, the son told me, "Teacher, let's go with them." And he brought two horses, one for me and one for him, and he gave me a rifle, and he takes another, and we take the horses and go, and we went after them. Then when we were near to the group of farmers, the father came and told me, "Teacher, do you know how to use this rifle?"
Good question.
And I thought, "No, how my son gives you a rifle and you don't know how to use it?" "Come, go down off the horse, I will teach you." And he taught me how to use the rifle. Then we go over the horse again, and we go with the group in order to combat the bandits. Well, in that occasion, the group of farmers killed two bandits and captured five, and the rest go away, escape from the mountain.
All right, you're out there for 8 months. How do you determine whether or not you're successful in teaching people to read? Pamela?
When they finished the book that we were following, then they had to write a letter to Fidel.
A letter showing that they could write.
A letter showing that they could write, of course.
And I heard somewhere that there were 750,000 letters written.
Yes.
Marietta, you want to add something?
Yes. I think this is very important. Besides teaching them how to read and write, roughly, of course, they learned about the objectives, the goals of the revolution. Because little by little, we explained to them what Fidel and the revolutionary people heading this great movement intended to do in Cuba. So it was a link between the city and the rural area, but also between the revolutionaries and the people that didn't know what was going on in Cuba.
Someone listening might say, okay, that is incorporating political indoctrination into a literacy campaign. What would you say to that?
I wouldn't say politically indoctrination. I would say explanation of what was going on. Because if you are going to agree with something, you have to understand what that is.
And what was it? And what
the objective was, the objective of the revolution was to unify the population so that everybody could learn to how to read and write and work and have decent ways of living and more equality. A union between the city people and the poor people.
Pamela?
Yes, I would like to add that the revolution was for the poor people. This revolution was really important for the poor people. So it was very important that poor people could understand that why what is going on. For example, they wanted to give the land to the farmers, enough land to cultivate, for example, for the poor people. No people more living in these poor homes, the bohíos, and to get free education, free health, all has been going on during the revolution.
1961 is a long time ago. Looking back on your experience, what do you feel about it, Marietta?
I felt very, very happy. And as a matter of fact, I felt an important person. I had done something extraordinary together with the rest of the Cubans and Cuba as a whole. And from then on, my life changed. I don't know who learned more, our students, the farmers, the peasants, or we, the teachers, because we learn a lot from them.
Fellow, your feelings looking back?
My feeling is that, like Marietta's thought, I felt after that campaign like a VIP person, a very important person, because I helped my people, my Cuban people, and I gave them a light to going in their life.
Pamela?
Looking back, I feel that as I was a middle-class girl, I am very grateful that I had a great opportunity to participate in such a wonderful experience.
Marietta, Pamelo, and Fellow, I very much regret to say we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for being with us on Home Ground. And to our listeners, many thanks for being with us. We hope you'll join us next week. Home Ground is a production of Artemis Common Ground, which is solely responsible for its content. Post-production by Valtron Recording Studios. Contact us at www.homegroundradio.org.